from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
And we are back. Where did the summer go, by the way? It was just the summer, like the other day. And here we are now, 3 weeks away from Miami and Florida. Welcome to the Hurricane Hotline, the first of, 40-some weeks of shows, right up until Memorial Day. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., Vladimir, no last name, just Vladimir, is our producer tonight. Got a big show coming up for you to kick things off. Mario Cristobal will join the show in 2 weeks prior to the Gator game. But tonight, DBJ and I will talk a little bit about practice, what has happened so far. Today is, I think, practice number 11. They're just on the practice field now. Francisco Maui Noah joins us. Jalen Rivers will join us from the ACC Network. Eric McClain will be with us, and we'll get a Gators preview from Gainesville with Kevin Brockway and the Gainesville Sun, longtime beat writer of the Florida Gators. All of that coming up on show number one of the Hurricane Hotline. Don Bailey Jr. is with us. Team is about ready to go out onto the practice field. DBJ, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Joe. It's ready for the new year, man. All excited about it. College football is a few weeks away, and nothing we like better than that.
Where did the summer go?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know where it went. It's summer. It's just football. That's all.
You were a bicycle through where? Scotland?
Yeah, did that Scotland-England deal and survived it. And it was absolutely perfect, but I was glad to get home because I knew when I got home it was time for a little football.
I went city hopping. We went to Charleston, Nashville, and Boston. I saw the Red Sox and the Yankees at Fenway Park. You talk about, we got Miami, Florida's a rivalry. Woo-hoo. Red Sox, Yankees at Fenway Park. That's a spectacle.
Well, you know what? You deserve to treat yourself for something like that. As big a baseball guy as you are, you appreciate it.
And then we had a little engagement over the summer. Little Haley's no longer a little, getting married now. So we had a little engagement over the summer. That was a big deal for us.
I would say that's a big deal for sure, and Lucky the husband-to-be. That's what I got to say.
Okay. Team's out on the field. Practice number, I just looked at this a moment ago. Doesn't matter. It's 11 or 12. At any rate,
12.
This week they're going through some nighttime practices. What have you seen so far? What are your thoughts? What has stood out for you so far in practice?
Well, what stood out most of all is if you go back to 2 years ago when Coach Cristobal took over in the fall, I think the most obvious thing is the size. And Coach Cristobal committed early on that Miami is going to be a bigger, more physical, and be physically impressive. And he's kept his word on that. And it's not just, on the offensive line. I think that's probably the biggest area that you see it right now. But you look at the defensive line, they've gotten bigger there. They've increased the size, whether it's through the portal or through recruiting in every position group. And so now you walk out on the field, and, I go back to, I don't know how many years ago it was when we opened up against Alabama, and just watching the pregame warm-ups and seeing the size differential there, Miami was just literally outsized for that ball game. That would no longer be the case. I think that the commitment has been made and it's being accomplished that Miami will be a physical team at the line of scrimmage and at the point of attack. And that has worked its way to the back end too. They bring in Martinez, who's a 230-plus pound guy, and he really, if you're practice, he really doesn't look that big because the offensive line is 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", and 320 and 330 and 340. So, it kind of gets overshadowed. But they've just become a bigger, more physical team. And at the end of the day, to me, that's the sport of football is still a physical sport. And usually the bigger guys who can run the best have the most success.
Yeah, I would say for me, along with the size, and I kind of like surfing along the sidelines, and then you just look up and see one mountain after another. So I think that's good. Damian Martinez, I stood next to him the other day, and I don't know, on the roster he was listed at 217. You mentioned 225, 235. He's every bit of closer to what you said. I mean, he is muscle on muscle on muscle. And I think he's the kind of running back that Miami has had trouble tackling the last 15 years, except for what we saw from Fletcher last season in a couple of games. Damian Martinez, 2,000 career yards so far in his career. He has 12 100-yard games, six in each of his first 2 years. He put together six straight 100-yard games his first year at Oregon State. And the other thing is, he's from Texas, Lewisville, Texas. So I find that interesting. I remember seeing him play his freshman year, but you take a look at his numbers. This guy is consistent. He gets his yards, 6 yards a pop when you hand him the football.
See, that's the crazy number. It's not 4 yards a carry and 1,000 carries. This guy comes up with big plays at the scrimmage on Saturday, first series. He ripped off a long run, and he's comfortable with as many carries as he needs to have during a game. He showed consistency, as you mentioned, in six consecutive 100-yard games, but he's got well over 2,000 yards in his last two seasons rushing the football. He had a big numbers as a true freshman, and he fits here. And the thing that I like about him, Joe, is immediately everybody wants to know how he runs the ball. I want to know how he blocks and how he catches. And he is certainly capable of blocking and doesn't shy away from it at any point. And though his numbers have not been big when it comes to catching the football, he absolutely is capable of doing that. So it adds another dimension to it. And, you team him up, and we know that Fletcher is been cleared and is on his way back, but you don't know where he's at conditioning-wise and where he's going to be in a couple of weeks. So that backfield there's a question mark with Fletcher, but A.J. Allen's had a very, very good camp, and really almost there, that entire group, you can tell, will help Miami win football games in the running game.
All eyes have been on Cam Ward. You watched him very closely this past Saturday in the scrimmage. 2 years, this will be his fifth year, but in 2 years at Washington State, he had 25 starts, threw for almost 7,000 yards, 48 touchdowns against 16 interceptions. I think he's really good when all hell breaks loose. If there's a situation where things break down the pocket, I think he's a pass first, run second guy. He can run to get himself out of trouble, but I think he's very dangerous when he is scrambling and keeping plays alive. That being said, at that position, what Miami needs from him is simply to be consistent.
Yeah, and really, don't throw picks. I mean, that's what happened to Miami last year. You want to boil it down, in my opinion, at that position, is the interception hurt Miami. I believe it cost us a couple football games. And
well, 26 interceptions in 2 years.
Yeah. That's way too many. And you're not going to win close games if you're losing the giveaway takeaway. And I harp on that every week during the season for my entire career. But it's just what I believe. But when you look at the fact that the quarterback position is really the leadership position, and Cam Ward has taken that thing in both his hands, and he says, I'm going to lead this football team as far as they can go. And he does not back down ever from the defense. And he constantly is encouraging his offense, but he also will let you know, meaning the offense, if you're not doing the right thing, then guess what? I'm going to let you know about it. And if he doesn't do the right thing, he'll stand up and take the blame for it. But the thing that most people won't understand or may not even see is his commitment to the position. And what does that mean, Don Bailey? That means, well, the guy's the first one in the building and the last one out all the time. And that sets an example for everybody that he is committed and that he's able to devote the time and devote the energy to what's going on, and that becomes contagious. And you need that from that position. That position's got to be the one that really is the leader of the band, and he has proven it. And he's proven it on the practice field in the spring. And he sure proved it on Saturday as well. And I'm looking forward to seeing him in another live situation on this Saturday.
I look at the defensive line. We put Reuben Bain to the side for one moment. What they Miami could put out there, all healthy, would be Mezidor, fifth year, Simeon Barrow, fourth or fifth year, C.J. Clark, sixth year, Anthony Campbell, sixth year, Tyler Barron, fifth year, Elijah Alston, fifth year, Marley Cook, sixth year. So that's a lot of experience right there. Then you bring in, you have Justin Scott, who is from Chicago, and to me looks like the real deal at 298 pounds. Freshman.
He is.
Cole McConaughey from Alabama. You and I spoke about him the first day of practice. They list him at 225. He looks bigger to me. And then, of course, you got the ringleader in Reuben Bain.
Well, when you talk about the defensive front, and you talk about it even at a conference level, a team level, and even a national level, it's got to start with Reuben Bain. And he's improved his body. He practices extremely hard. And, you know, the term that is used a lot on that practice field is the ironing, sharpening iron. And that is what's happening with Reuben Bain and Miami's offensive line. If he's going against Maui Noah, you're not going to go up against many tackles that are better than that in the country. If he's going up Jalen Rivers, same thing over there. Fifth-year guy who's extremely competent at his position and his technique. And then, you know, the ability to move Reuben inside is very, very helpful. But I think what may happen is, or needs to happen, is that Mesidor has got to give Miami a season. And yes, if they can give him, if he can get a season out of him, then, you know, having played that position for many years of the offensive line, when you've got one great guy, you can slide, or you can get tight ends, or you can add a back, and you can chip. But when you've got two of them that you've got to deal with, now it presents a problem. And that's what Miami needs to do. For Reuben Bain to have a great year, he needs to have Mesidor. For Mesidor to have a great year, he's got to be healthy and have Reuben Bain. And then you throw in the other names that you mentioned. You know, the defensive tackle from Michigan State, he's a guy that's very, very quick and can move around. And they picked up another defensive end. He's been very impressive. But you've got to have pairs, at least have pairs on that defensive front, because it'll really free somebody up. And, you know, Miami's secondary is basically all new except for one new face, one guy that had been there before. And the way to help them is a pass rush. And that's what Miami's going to have to do.
I don't know if I'm right on this. I'm going to toss this out to you, but I think I'm pretty close. We are now in the era a free agency in college football because of the transfer portal. Uh-huh. And everybody wants to play in the NFL. They all want to play in the NBA. They all want to play in, Major League Baseball and all that. But they all want to play in the NFL. This is the era of free agency. And for guys that are upperclassmen, they have been scouted. Guys know what their skill level is. They have been scouted by the NFL. The NFL doesn't talk about them, but they have been scouted. In many cases, they know what they can do, but what they want to know is, can you play? And what I mean by that is, are you going to line up and give us games played? It doesn't help us to draft you if you can't play.
You've got to be healthy. And you've got to put it on tape. And I will tell you, I've never seen in recent history the consistency of scouts at every single practice. So there is a lot of interest on the personnel of this Miami football team. And every day that I've been there, there's been NFL scouts there. So that tells you that the word's out that there is talent at Miami. But to your point, Joe, the reputation is one thing. But what you put on tape is what's going to get you drafted. And they are there. The scouts are there. They could see everything you do in today's world based on the tape. But they want to see how you practice. They want to see if you're the first one out at practice. They want to see how you are and handle conditioning. They want to see how you handle live situation and adverse situations. They want to see it with their own two eyes and not just from the eye in the sky. And what you're going to get from these guys, and you mentioned the talent. You've got to understand that there's going to be more rotation now, and I just think that that's going to be a part of college football, and I don't disagree with it. You know, I think there's position groups like the offensive line. There will be less than areas on the defensive line or in the secondary at the receiver spot, but you're going to get a chance to get on that field, and if you don't, you have to understand that you're probably not ready to go, because they're going to play if you're ready to play. I mean, it's really not – I don't think it's up to the coaches if you play. It's up to the player if you play. And if you're ready to go and you're ready to contribute, then you get on the field. Now, the question is, do we contribute four games and I get a red shirt, or do we play the whole season and use the year and I'm ready for the next step of development? Reuben Bain, perfect example. He had to play. Thank God he played. He was one of the best players in the country. He was certainly the best freshman in the ACC, and he's on path. There's other guys that did not play last year or did not play in big numbers, but they're going to be very helpful this year. So everybody's got their own path.
A couple more quick things. One would be give the listeners a little dose of maybe some guys that are young players that have caught our attention. One, I think, would be Elijah Lofton, for sure, the tight end, yep, slash running, yep, back slash H-back. And then I think it was the first or second day of practice, there was a defensive back, and I turned to you, I said, whoa, Who's that guy? He had a nice interception along the sidelines. I don't think it's kind of like one of these young guys that comes into an NFL camp, a rookie, and you wait for them to kind of hit their wall. But so far, O.J. Frederick has been pretty darn good as a freshman cornerback.
He has, Joe, and you know the reason nobody knows about him is because he wasn't available in the spring because it came from St. Thomas, and they don't their students have to finish the school year. Student athletes have to finish the school year, and so he wasn't able to come out in the spring. But I was there yesterday, and he made plays yesterday. And he's a big, tall, lean guy that is absolutely going to help Miami. I would say initially on teams, and then see how he develops here over the next 3 weeks. And you want to ease somebody in, you know, especially a freshman that doesn't have the experience of the spring. You want to ease him in and make sure that there's no communication gaps by just getting on campus. But he's certainly one, and Lofton jumped out quick. He was like, you know, he kind of reminded me of the first time I saw Frank Gore out on the field. I go, whoa. That guy's a little different, and that's the same thing I see with Lofton. And you know they'll be able to use him all over the place. So this class, and then you talk about the defensive tackle number 98. You'll have to help me with his name, but he from Chicago. But he was
Justin Scott.
Yeah, Justin Scott. Now you know at in shorts early on, he was very impressive, and now he's got the pads on. He's still impressive. So. You know, that's a guy that I really believe is going to help Miami get some reps and more later than sooner, just because you've got to get conditioned and game shape. And these guys, you have to remember now, the practice intensity, especially the young guys that they had in high school, does not compare in any way, shape, or form to what they're being asked to do today. And while, yes, it's gotten a lot easier as far as contact goes and day in pads, you're still out there. And even when they're in spiders or shells, or they're still thumping pretty good. And one thing that Coach Cristobal demands is that every practice is a very, very intense practice from start to finish. And you get conditioned while you're at practice. So that's something that these young guys have to get used to.
August 31st, Hurricanes Gators from Gainesville. We'll be on the air a little bit earlier for our pregame show on Saturday, August 31st. We're going to kick it off at 11 a.m. here on QAM for a 3:30 p.m. kickoff, 11 a.m. pregame show on Saturday, August 31st. So we got three more weeks to get ready for the Gators. And I know you'll be ready, and I'll see you on the practice field this week.
That you will, Joe. I appreciate it, and have a good evening.
All right, that's Don Bailey Jr. with us still to come. When we come back, Josh Jarrell will talk with Francisco Mauinoa, Hurricanes linebacker. Also coming up this hour, I will talk with left tackle Jalen Rivers. So that comes up in this hour. Eric McClain from the ACC Network joins us at 7. And then Kevin Brockway joins us from the Gainesville Sun coming up at about 7:40 or so. Let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership founded over 50 years ago. They are more than just a dealership. They are our friends. They're our neighbors. Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base by staying focused on what? The customer experience. They treat customers like family, so you can enjoy world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac. New vehicles are arriving every single day at Williamson, which means Williamson is sure to have the new Cadillac you're looking for. Right now, I'm driving the XT4. It's an SUV that delivers the wow factor. Turbocharged, great acceleration, fuel efficiency, check, check, check. It will surpass any of your expectations. XT4, a quiet, smooth ride. Cadillac always delivers, and the XT4 is a one-of-a-kind SUV that's durable, it has style, and will always satisfy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami. Okay, welcome back. Vladimir is our producer tonight. No last name, Vladimir. Just Vladimir. Defensive end Ruben Bain and linebacker Francisco Malinoa on Monday were named to the watch list for the Bednarik Award that is given annually to the top defensive player in college football, Chuck Bednarik, who is a vicious linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles, knocked out Frank Gifford. At any rate, Bain, of course, was the ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year. Last year, Malinoa led the ACC with 18 tackles for losses. He had 82 total tackles, 7.5 sacks. He also forced a couple of fumbles, had an interception against Georgia Tech. Malinoa is also on the watch list for the Nagurski Trophy, another Defensive Player of the Year award. He had 12 tackles in the bowl game last year against Rutgers. He's been a constant force for Miami this year so far in training camp, and he changed his number to number one, and he spoke on the University of Miami Behind the U podcast with our sideline reporter, Josh Darrow.
We're getting close to football, and it feels good. We're talking to Kiko Malinoa, Behind the U podcast. Kiko, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. So let's just start with this. Miss Spring Ball, how ready are you to strap on the pads and go rock somebody?
Oh, I'm beyond ready. I'm excited. I got the fire going on in me, and I'm just excited to get back on the field and just hit somebody. So I'm really pumped up for fall camp. It's coming up.
That's a nice way to start up there in Gainesville against the Gator.
I mean, I'm excited. I heard it's a nice atmosphere to play in, and
yeah, nice might be a one way of putting it.
Yeah. So I'm excited for the opportunity to go up in Gainesville and play them. So I'm looking forward to that first game, and I can't wait to play ball. It's finally like right in front of us, so I'm excited.
You made a decision last year to come back. What went into that?
Part of it was just seeing the process that this team is getting to. Developing over and over over time, and just seeing how much this team has come to this point. And I want to be in a part of that, something special that they got going on over here. And I think playing with my brother too is kind of a big deal to me. So I wanted to finish out, you know, one more year with him before going to the league.
What did you want to see? Or what did you see that made like, yeah, that has a chance to be special. I want to be a part of that.
Just the program itself, the culture, the coaches coming back, and you know, just overall program that the Miami has. I don't think there's any other program like it. We got a lot of guys coming in, and you got a lot of young guys too that are, you know, making strides of being really good. So I think this program is getting better and better every single day. And I see that. So I'm excited. A big part of it why I came back is just being able to, you know, finish out strong. And I want to finish out a Miami Hurricane and being able to, you know, win success and, you know, see where this team goes as far as I've imagined. So, yeah.
I'm sure you have big goals. What's in your head? Like, what's driving you? What's motivating you? What's out there?
Just being able to play. You know, I think I kind of left some pieces out last season, and I just want to, you know, fill those out and not be able to look back and be like, no, I wish I could be able to do this. But I think I worked hard enough and I put in a lot of work this offseason to get to the point where I'm really confident that I'll be a breakout candidate after this season. So it's a lot to prove.
Do you think you're overlooked? Because you just said breakout. I think of you and I'm like, man, that dude rocks. I'm glad he's here. But do you think you're overlooked?
I just got a big standard. I have a big standard for myself. You know, I think I'm the best of the best. Just be truthful with it. But I think I am being overlooked by some people, and there are doubters out there. But I think that's all up to me, a decision for me to do. So I think I made my mind up already that, you know, I'm going to be working as hard as I can to be ready for that first game. So like I told you before, like, I'm confident how much I put in this offseason to be able to get to that point. So, yeah.
Pico, you said you have a high standard for yourself. What is it? What's the standard you hold yourself to?
Just being able to be close to perfect at everything, execute at a high level, being able to, you know, study the offense, know what kind of concepts to expect on certain plays and certain routes that they're about to run. And, you know, knowing all that stuff is like really important to me. And I think for this offseason, getting with some of the guys, some of the pros, and, you know, what Coach D Nick has really helped me a lot. So I think getting all those perspectives has made a big stride for me to get to where I'm at, to where I want to be.
Some of the pros, who are some of the guys you've either got to work with, talk to? What has that interaction been like, and who has it been with?
All these guys, the legends over here. I got with Jonathan Vilma, John Beeson, DJ Williams. So all those guys, man. I had talked with Michael Irvin too, see his perspective on his team. And I got a lot of useful information from them.
What's something they said to you that stuck out? Any one of them that's really like seared in your head?
When I was talking to Vilma, today I was with Vilma. So I think one thing that has stuck out to me was like the way he played the game. It was just pure physical and just pure aggressiveness. And that's something that a linebacker should have. And for me, I think I need to take another notch. Just being able to come downhill, just, you know, be a wrecking ball. So seeing those perspectives from Vilma has really like helped me see the other angles of being a linebacker.
You talked about studying other, obviously you're always going to study the other team, right? I mean, every week you guys are sitting in the film room and Coach Guidry, that's kind of what you do. But have you taken even more of a effort into this summer of just like studying offensive concepts?
Yes. I mean, I've been looking at the splits of receivers, looking at, you know, body language, all those like counts into what kind of routes to expect and, you know, what type of running play they're going to run. So I think I got a lot better looking at those because, you know, Coach D Nick hits it all the time. Just looking at the body language, look, find the black sheep, you know, find the odd guy that tells everything because it's like a story. The offense is like a story. You just got to find that odd object in the story that tells everything.
Body language, bad or good? Like, what are you looking for?
Like leaning, like if they're leaning towards a certain place, they're looking, pre-snap body language, if they're looking somewhere, that's all that's the part of the story. That all tells them what they're about to run. And if they're doing it at a consistent level, you know, you can look at that before snap and know what the play's going to go.
So when you sniff that out, bro, you must, if you see it and you know it, and then you make the play, that must only enhance your confidence.
Yes, enhance your confidence and like, your confidence is out of the roof and you just play free and, you know, you don't even have to think when you know what play is going to come. So
now I heard our new quarterback here likes to talk. True or false?
Oh, yeah, man. He's the same guy from because I played with him when I was at
how many years? Team. One or two?
Just 1 year. He came in at my sophomore year and we played against each other and we would like we practiced against each other almost every time. It's the same Cam Ward. Like, he's always talking to the defense, like, always starting some, which is really good because it gets the best out of you. It gets you competing and, like, it just gets everybody fired up. Because if they see a leader, you know, doing that, it makes everybody follow. And, like, everybody start competing at a high level. So I think it's a really good plus for us.
I'm sure it changes the energy on the practice field.
Sure does.
And I'm sure friendly, as a teammate, you also probably want to shut him up.
Hey, that's all part of football, man. You go at it during practice, and then after practice, you go back to buddy-buddy. So
who's barking back on your side?
Oh, I think everybody barks back. Reuben Bain barks back. Elijah barks back. Mostly Elijah. Elijah likes to, you know, I think he's one of them that likes to talk back.
But, Austin?
Yeah, Elijah Austin. Even our linebacker, Coach D-Nick has ingrained that mentality in us. Like, you got to be a destroyer. Like, nobody's going to mess with us. Like, you can't be talking like that to us.
You've mentioned work a whole bunch of times, Kiko. I know Coach Cristobal. You listen to Coach Cristobal. That's like at its core what this program is going to be built on, right? But that being said, I don't think fans, even myself, really appreciate the amount of work that goes on behind closed doors inside of this building. So can you maybe detail the work you've put in, like what that looks like on a day in and day out basis?
So every week, our schedule is aligned to, you know, work out 3 days, and then we have runs on 2 days. So every day after workouts or after run, we always put in the extra work. That's either getting into, you know, block destruction or catching balls or getting on our drops. And after that, we watch films, just trying to get into watching film of ourselves, like critiquing our skills and our craft. So all that being put in, looking at the defense, looking at the offense, and just reading, watching film on them, just getting an idea of what to get into to put ourselves in a good situation. So all that work in is just a plus for school. And then I try to watch film at night too. So it's like every day I'm thinking about football. I got to be paranoid about this if I want to be good.
Now in high school, you played some quarterback, didn't you?
I did play quarterback.
And at American Samoa or when you came over to Cali?
I played quarterback against American Samoa, and then when I went to Cali, I played both ways. That's when I made the transition, play linebacker and quarterback. It's a great story because I never thought I was going to play defense at all because, you know, I love being a quarterback. I feel like I was a really good dual threat. I could throw the ball, I could read the defense, and I could run the ball too. So when I went to Cali and I start getting big, I guess it's just like a growth spread of like, because us Samoans, we just get big out of nowhere. So
yeah, I kind of took notice of that.
I got big and then I was still playing quarterback. And then they booed me at linebacker too. So I started linebacker and I just fell in love with it. I got looked at as a linebacker and as a quarterback too. I got some offers at quarterback and, you know, I fell in love with being a linebacker. And that's all when it started.
2 years in American Samoa playing football. At that point, a quarterback. And your goal at that point was to go to college and play football.
Yep.
And you moved to California for what reason? Your junior year, yes?
Yeah, my junior year. And reason was because we weren't getting recruited as much in American Samoa. With the amount of talent that we had, we weren't getting looked at from college. So my parents made the sacrifice. You know, I made the choice too that I wanted to play football in the league. And to do that, I got to get looked at. So I had to make the sacrifice to move to Cali for a season. And that's when it all started.
Did Francis go with you or no?
He did. He did. Francis came in his freshman year. And he just went off on his freshman year. He was playing D-line and O-line. And I think he really did a really good job playing D-line. But I think he did better playing D-line than O-line.
Prior to going to California, were any colleges showing any interest?
No, there was nobody.
So you are self-confident. You believe you could play at a high level growing up, except you don't have any offers. So were you concerned? Was there ever any doubt? Or was it like, man, I'm going to make this happen?
I don't think there was ever a doubt that, you know, I was going to be the spot that I am today, because that was the same mindset I had. I just believed so much in myself that I was going to be able to do it. And before I even moved to Cali, I had the same mindset.
And when you got to Cali, though, people started taking notice of you.
Yep. That's when the college started talking to me, started hitting on me up and my brother up, started inviting us to some camps. And that's when it all started.
Coach Guidry's on this podcast. He said something in the podcast, which was interesting about his defensive structure. At least one of the things, which is I want to mess with the brain trust. And he was talking about the center, the guards and the quarterback, which I'm sure you're standing right on the other side of those guys. How much do you love being in this system?
I love being under Coach Guidry. He is really creative and he's very aggressive. He puts people in a really good position to play the position that you're confident and that you're ready to play in. He doesn't like putting people on different matches because it messes up your game or your groove. So I think Coach G does a really good job with that. And just being able to mix up some games with the blitzes and all that. So I love blitzing and, you know, Coach G really does love blitzing. So I love that he does that a lot.
So it sounds like he makes you feel really comfortable, whatever your spot is, whatever your role is, that he puts you at ease.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He knows your strength and he'll put you in a good position to play that.
So do you like the fact that you get to exploit your pass rushing skills and make plays in the backfield?
For sure. That's what I love the most, is just being able to be disruptive in the backfield. Rather it's a blitz or not thinking too much and just hit the gap. So, I mean, his system is very, very unique and simple that you could just play free.
I don't know how true it was, but I'm guessing you're glad you said you were looking, studying way, way back at the beginning of this. One of the reasons you came back, you were assessing everything. So I'm guessing you're really glad he came back.
I'm 100% glad that he came back too. And all the coaching staff came back because, you know, they are a really big step of my development here. And, you know, I'm grateful that they're here to coach me up and help me and my teammates with our development.
All right, my man. Can't wait to see you on the football field. It's close, man. I can't wait to see you guys run around, buddy. And it's going to be an awesome season. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Josh.
Francisco Mauinoa. What a great story. Great interview by Josh Darrow. First in tackles last year, tied in sacks for the University of Miami. Looks like he's poised to have a great season. The anchor of that defense in the middle. I'll tell you, next to him, I think going under the radar is Wesley Bissain. I think Wesley's had a pretty good camp. Alderman's look pretty good from transfer from Louisville. Rally Gary's coming on pretty strong. And then you keep an eye on Bobby Pruitt and Booker Pickett coming off the edge. Bobby Washington, I looked at him the other day and went, yeah, okay, getting there. 6'3", 220 pounds, redshirt freshman. But the anchor of that defense right now, Francisco Mauinoa. When we come back, the anchor of the offensive line, left tackle Jalen Rivers. He is as equally impressive as Francisco Mauinoa. Jalen Rivers, Miami's left tackle, who is a redshirt junior, 21 years old, could come back for another year if he so desired. At any rate, he too is poised to have a big season as Miami's left tackle, Jalen Rivers, when we come back in the Hurricane Hotline.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. Coming up in hour number two, Eric McClain from the ACC Network will join us. Mac will talk about the Canes. They were just in town, ACC Network, with their road trip tour. So we will talk with Eric McClain about the Canes and the ACC. Also, Kevin Brockway will join us from the Gainesville Sun covering the Gators. He'll give us an update on where Florida is during their summer training camp. Jalen Rivers, he's a pro at left tackle for the University of Miami. Last season, second team all ACC, started all 13 games last year. The year before, made 7 starts and then was injured. So 20 starts in the last 2 years for the University of Miami. Canes practicing tonight. Earlier, I spoke with Hurricanes left tackle Jalen Rivers. With Hurricanes left tackle Jalen Rivers, and a lot of things to talk about. But first, let's just get an overview of training camp. What do you like about it so far with your team?
I love it a lot. I love training camp because we've been prepared for this moment every offseason, every spring. We look forward to just competing. And then now training camp's here and the season's right around the corner. I mean, both sides of the ball, we're very stacked on, I feel like, every position on the team. And we have no choice but to compete and get each other better.
See, that's what I was going to say is you have a lot of good players here now. Good players want to be with good players, right?
Yeah. So for me, even though some people go, oh, you could have left last year or you had a good season as an O-line, I still look to get better. That's the reason why I came back too. I just wanted to improve. I never feel satisfied with my game. I always look to improve. So it's good to have, you know, some DNs like Bain, Mezzador, EA from the transfer Marshall, Tyler Barron, everybody that's going up against me every day making me better. It's good to have that because it gets me better and gets them better. Going up against great competition.
I was going to say, there's not a lot of drop-off on this defensive line. Maybe in years past it'd be a drop-off, but now the next guy up is pretty good.
Yeah, you have no choice but to get better every day. It's kind of exhausting. Like Coop said yesterday in his media, it was like it's exhausting to go against a defense D-line every day because every time you're back up, it's a new set of DNs, new set of D-tackles. It's like, well, dang, we really sacked, so we just got to keep them healthy, keep us healthy, and get each other better every practice, every day.
Jalen Rivers is our guest. I want to talk about some of those guys in a moment, but you've talked about wanting to get better. Where are the areas where you want to improve?
I look at every area, the pass, the run, and just the knowledge of the game. So Coach Mirabal helps not just me, but everybody in that O-line room getting better, looking at the defense, looking what blitz they bring, looking at the personnel and the formations and all that stuff. So I'm getting better in that aspect and just keep getting stronger and more agile, working on my agility to get faster, to handle great competition, great DNs like Bane and everybody I go up against every day. So just working at everything, just honing my skills.
Jalen Rivers is with us. Cam Ward, the quarterback. What does he bring to the table?
Energy, fun to the game, competition. It's competitive every day. Like, that's why I say it's competitive each day, because even our quarterback is going at it with the defense. Yeah. So, and, you know, when we're not having a good day, he brings us all together. Like, hey, holding himself and everybody else accountable too. So it's good to have, you know, Cam Ward coming to this program and very comfortable since day one, being able to gain our respect and gain his respect, and play with each other.
I saw him in practice make a throw where he had to drift to the right side, almost out of bounds from the right sideline, throw it to the left sideline all the way across the field. I think that's one of those, oh, no, no. Oh, great play.
Yeah, so that's what he brings to the table, just playmaking ability. So it's good to have, you know, a defense. I mean, good to have a defense that giving us pressure and him able to see that and, you know, do it, you know, make it work and be a mobile quarterback like he is and get out the pocket and still have visibility on the field of his receivers and make a play like that. So I'm glad we have him. Yeah.
I watched Damian Martinez in the offseason in a game that he played for his previous team, Oregon State, against Washington. They couldn't tackle him. What would you say about Damian Martinez and his physicality and his vision?
Yeah, so the more he gets adjusted to our program, because, you know, he's a summer transfer coming in too, and he's doing great every day, learning the plays, learning, you know, us. And we're, you know, being more we're getting closer with him and building that connection to where when he does run behind us and running them in them holes, he's finding the holes awesome. Like when we did inside run and all these other drills where he's running behind us and finding the holes, it's like, dang, he found a hole and he just ran through it and be able to run people over. Of course, we're not going full speed right now, but he's going to be a great addition to our running back room. And, I mean, he's an older guy too, so it's a great addition from experience level as well to help the younger guys in the room to get everybody in that room better. But he's going to be a great addition to the running back room. I'm glad to be blocking for him.
How does Coach Mirabal help you?
Where does he not help me? In the film room, he's not afraid to call me out, Zach out, Coop out, anybody in that room out. Don't care your seniority or if you're a veteran, he's going to call you out whether you're a walk-on. It's great to have a coach like that that wants everybody in that room to get you better and not afraid to, you know, speak up, because some coaches, not any of the coaches here, thank God, you know, are afraid to get on the good people's bad side and be able to lose them in the transfer portal, so they don't want to say too much. But Coach Mirabal, we have the respect for him to where he's like, we love that criticism because it's getting to me better. And we have the guys in the room that want that help from Coach Mirabal, and he knows what he's talking about. So why not want to be able to be with a coach like him?
Mm-hmm. Jalen Rivers is our guest. If you can't tell, he's one of my favorite players. 21 years old, about to be 22, mature beyond your years. Who keeps you grounded?
Everybody around me, especially my mom. I mean, my parents, my dad and my stepdad, my siblings, my friends, my teammates, coaches. I mean, just being able to walk in every day and just remain humble, because they keep me humble every day. And I keep myself humble too, because, you know, being not humble and being too cocky, I feel like won't get you far. Just being humble and, you know, being a service to others will get you really far. And I feel like a lot of people see that in me, and that's just how I am naturally. You know, I don't care for the spotlight. I don't care for all the bling and all that stuff and the attention. I just come in every day and wanting to get better and just learn.
You put a big smile on your mom and stepdad's face. And I think my observation would be, for you, making them proud is something that is a big part of your life.
Yeah, because they sacrifice a lot for me. My people were in the military. I had to move from Virginia to Florida. My dad lived in Virginia, so, like, they sacrificed a lot for me, and they're still there for me, being in the military. So I do everything for them, especially my mom. Being a single mom at one point, but my stepdad stepping in, and my dad still being in my life, too. But, you know, I see what they did for me and what they do for other people, and I'm like, I really idolize that, and I want to do the same for them. And just keep growing, and they're teaching me to remain humble, like I said. They keep me grounded, and I just really do this for them.
By the way, this is how a team gets better.
a guy like you comes back for another year, doesn't leave early, comes back here to sharpen your skills, to win football games. What motivated you to come back?
Like I said, just wanting to get better. I feel like I wanted to dominate at the college level in order to go to the next level, you know, the pro level. That's no joke. You know, you get there and you know, that's not what they want. They'll cut you. So I want to be able to be ready for that type of competition, dominate the college level to where I feel confident enough to be able to, you know what, I'm going to leave because I feel like I've done enough. And, you know, I want to use this program as much as possible because they did a lot for me. And I want to, you know, just come back. And I feel like I believe in this team, too, because I feel like we had unfinished business to where we didn't do what we needed to do last year necessarily when we were 7-6. Like, that's not good enough. And I feel like everybody in this program knew that wasn't. So I feel like the team we have now, the coaches we have now, I feel like we have a chance at that this year.
Before we let you go, give me a scouting report. First on Tyler Barron.
Tyler Barron, he's, you know, he's really my height. So he's big, powerful, a little speed to him. So he'll get you on the speed and, you know, try to long arm you. So he's very strong and a very big body.
Simeon Barrow.
Another big body at the D-tackle position. He gives us guards, our guards, a lot of trouble in the run game. So you got to get him quick, be firm and strong, and run your feet and try to move him. So he's a big, powerful run stopper.
I know for Reuben Bain, staying the same is not part of his game. So how has he gotten better?
Just be able to switch it up. You know, it's unpredictable going up against him. You don't know if you're getting hand swipe, the speed a little bit, speed to power, a little step inside. Like, you don't know. So, and one thing about him that separates him from a lot of people is that he never stops and he just keeps going because he has a motor that, you know, the play's not over until the whistle is blown. And even after the whistle, you see him still trying to chase the ball. So he's a great talent.
Do you look forward to opening the season with an opponent like the Florida Gators?
Yes, because, you know, everybody loves going against, you know, a rival in the SEC as well, too. So I look forward to going back near home, too. That's right near an hour away from right. Jacksonville. So, you know, I love the opportunity because they're a great team, and we can't be more even excited to face a team like that.
I call them the evil empire.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I agree.
It's a good way to start, right?
It's a great way to start. You'd hit it on the nail, yeah.
Jalen Rivers, you did a great job. You're going to have a great season. When you retire, let me know.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.